interviewed N.W. Atukorale, 21st of September, 1967.
One of the subjects I wanted to tackle today is land settlement work. We did discuss it to some extent, and I have a fair idea of what was required myself. But now, of course, your experience was between 38 and 40,
41. 42, 38 to 41, 42, about that period. But of course, after that, during the D.S. Senanayake era, are you recording now?
Yes, it is.
I must say that I was in constant touch, not only with matters connected with land settlement as such, but all the allied subjects from the settlement of land and the mapping out of land to the giving of land to colonies. I mean, all matters connected with land development, you see, starting, for example, with a jungle land. First the topographical survey, then the settlement of the topographical survey, where little pockets of private land existed, you see, in the form of ancient paddy land or land containing cultivation of, say, 20, 30 years, which in a topographical survey, say, of a large extent of 10,000 acres will not be taken into account as crown land. The balance came under the land settlement ordinance notice and was dealt with as such, and those large areas, generally huge forests, you see, of centuries-old forests, which, of course, no one could claim, came under the notice and were declared crown and mapped out for various purposes, village purposes.
Yes, it was a settlement officer who did the mapping out.
Generally the settlement officer, where a land came under the land settlement ordinance. But there were also the government agents at that time and the assistant government agents. Now, of course, you have 21 or 22 agencies. They are all called government agents. But in the old days, we had only 9 provinces with about 20 districts, and the others in the various small areas were called assistant government agents. For example, Colombo, the western province, had an assistant at Kaluthara, and the government agent was in Colombo. You see, in Kandy, the government agent was Kandy district, central province. The government agent was in Kandy,
yes,
but
sir,
had his two assistants at Mathale and Nuradia. Now, actually, while on the subject of settlement, I had, during the D.S. Senanayake era, a fairly good insight into all aspects of land development, you see, starting with settlement and survey, declaring the land crown, or then the irrigation department moved in to find out what irrigation facilities could be provided, you see, in respect of any areas that could be brought under, say, cultivation requiring irrigation, like paddy. Then after the irrigation, the government agent came in to allot the land and bring in the colonies. Then at about the same time, the various facilities required for colonies, colonies' cottages, community centers, rural hospitals, roads, you see, and all that sort of thing came up. And eventually, when the land was finally developed, It have been taken a decade for some of these places. Minne area, for example, might have taken quite 1.5 decades or nearly 2. You see, they were eventually handed over to village committees and town councils. And some of them may, I don't know whether there are any, but may even be urban councils. But that was the sort of state of development at that time.
What was the main purpose of land settlement?
The main purpose of land settlement at that time, I should say, was to distinguish between land that the crown could properly call its own and private land.
Mm-hmm.
One must not forget this, that the land settlement ordinance as such and the ordinance that preceded that, mind you, that was the Wastelands Ordinance, what it was called at that time, was a very severe ordinance. You see, we must look at this thing in the background of the fact that the country was then a colony under the British, you see. And the objective behind that was to find a suitable land for these people, you see, to grow commercial crops. That is why they first started with coffee, and when coffee died out, they started with tea, and I believe in between the rubber too came in. And these were considered good commercial crops and brought in all their money. I mean, after all, the British government has possibly £100 million invested in tea lands alone here. You see, I mean, not the British government, but British people, mm-hmm. British authorities.
In distinguishing land and when working in the field, if you found two claimants claiming the same plot of land and you decided that it was not crown, did you at the same time try to say this chap's claim is the stronger?
Most certainly we did.
Mm-hmm.
One of the objectives was this, you see. The main objective was to distinguish between private land and crown land. Then in between these two, now private land, you see what they call the Paravani paddy fields. Paravani was a Sinhalese term which was used for ancient paddy fields. Then crown lands, you see, lands that has huge satin wood trees, you said, were 100, 200 years old, which no one could claim as having been in possession of for that period, you see.
Couldn't a village claim the use of such land?
They could. I'll come to that in a moment, you see. The first thing was to decide between that, those two. Then we come to this question of cultivation. Cultivation over 10 years and cultivation under, say, 25 years.
Yes.
You see, now that was the area that gave us most headaches, you see,
mm-hmm.
because that was where the village claimant came in. Very often in the course of my own work as an assistant settlement officer, which took me to several provinces in Ceylon, you see, where I practically spent nearly 200 nights under canvas every year, you see, I found that in certain areas, outsiders, when I mean not foreigners, but people from outside. Say I was settling land in a Kandy district, in a Kandyan area. A low country Sinhalese Mudalali had come and bought up vast acres of land, you see. Chenas, he had just some sort of a deed which just showed just the bare boundaries. One may be Deduroya, the other may be some Mukalana, the other may be some main road, and the fourth boundary may be another river or something like that, you see, which may cover 1,000 acres, which he had bought from an entire village or a pedigree for a mere song, you see, at about 5 rupees an acre. Now, our object was not so much to find out, you see, whether his claim was real or not. I personally thought that in such a case, where he had not made any effort whatsoever to develop the land, but had allowed the villagers to chena the land. You know what the chena the land means? Just grow catch crops. You see, you burn a few acres up, you see, you sow the seed, you reap the crop, and then you abandon the land, you see. And the cycle for a chena, you see, in the old days was about 10 years. Now the cycle may be much smaller. As a matter of fact, I don't think there is anything called chena land now for cultivation, you see. And then they just exploited the good timber, burnt up the rest, sowed the seed. It was rich, soil was rich. They got a good crop, and they, you see, on some sort of Ande system, they gave a share to the owner and left. Now, would you stop this for a moment? What do you want now? You see, now a claimant like that who appeared before me, you see, although we were dealing with an ordinance and his claim may be a statutory claim that was made within the time and under the ordinance and under notice, which if I rejected, he could have appealed to the district court, which could adjudicate on my settlement. You see, rarely went before a court like that, because they too took the view that this was a mere speculator who had planted himself there in the hope that eventually when the settlement officer came, you see, and he paid 2,000 rupees for 1,000 acres, he would probably get at least 100 acres at about 15 rupees, when at that time, to settle 1 acre of land, it cost the government anything up to 150 rupees.
So it didn't hurt the land grabber and speculator to accept the adjudication of the settlement officers?
No, he didn't, because even if he got 5 acres, I think he got title which was clear against the whole world, as it were. You see, it was title which was absolutely clear. It was a crown grant.
Now, so if you found a speculator had bought up land, village land, say an outsider had bought up village land, and he had held it for say 15 years, it was between 10 and 15 years, would you tend to give him only a portion of it?
No, it all depends. You see, now if, for example, I will give you an example. A man comes before me, a villager, and says he claims you see, generally they talk in their village terms, you see, four amunams of land or something like that, you see, a sowing term, as it were, you see. We convert that to an acreage.
Yes.
Then the first thing the settlement officer has to do is to locate the land on a block surveyed map.
Already provided
him with a field book, you see, which contains the name of the claimant at the time the survey took place and written there by the surveyor. So we go on inspection and locate these lands first. That's the first thing we do after giving. Then we notice them to appear. And then we go into their claims. Now, generally the claim of a villager is either through purchase from another party in the village or ancestral title, you see, it's quite clear, you see. But then we go on various other considerations. Suppose the man has a jack plantation which is 10 years old, you see, and has built a semi-permanent building in which he has been residing for 10 years. we always have the village headman before us, who is able to substantiate some of the statements made by this person, you see. And someone else says, no, I also have a claim to this land. Then we will go into the question of who built the house, who had the plantation, who cleared the land and did all that. We don't dispute the other man's claim because we draw up the pedigree and find that the other man who is disputing is a nephew or a son of a brother or of this man who is claiming the land. You see, then eventually we find that we can come to some settlement by giving this cultivated portion to this man and giving the other chap a bare block. You see, go ahead. Please stop your thing for a moment.
So in the case of Mudulali from outside, if you felt that in that area of the village, as it is, there wasn't enough land for the villagers, would you deprive him of the whole of it?
Well, frankly, I haven't come across a case like that, you see, because, there is nothing to prevent us rejecting the entirety of his claim. You see?
As long as it's cultivated for less than 25 years.
As long as it is cultivated for less than 10 years. That's what the ordinance as such speaks of, you see. Cultivations over 10 years, under 10 years, are all brought under the land settlement ordinance.
So you can reject it entirely if you so wish?
Oh yes, we had that discretion.
But between 10 and 25?
Between 10 and 25, you see, we had the power. You see, generally people liked, even the villager knew the value of title to land, you see, and especially a crown grant, you see, which enhances its value, you see. And, you see, they generally didn't mind cultivation over 10 years even being brought under the land settlement ordinance. And generally speaking, if it was 10, 15, 20 years, there weren't really very many big problems that arose, you see. Either it was partitioned by a court, in which case we had very little to do, but settle it in accordance with the terms of the court, although we were not obliged to do so under the Act, you see. Or it was a question of a family having lived there, the father having died, and the son coming into possession of the land. And the sisters, generally in Vikandian areas, where they are married in, if they are married in Diga, that means they have left the village, you see, and have not entitled to anything. If they are married in Binna, that is, if they have brought the husband down, they are also entitled to a share of the land. And generally it is, I mean, during our times, now of course, people have become a little more educated in the wrong way perhaps and may bring about problems for you, but generally speaking they have not been very troublesome, you see. And I didn't personally, during my period of service as an assistant settlement officer, find any great difficulty in dealing with claims, you see. We are only expected to deal with statutory claims. The others who don't make claims within time, you see, are completely at our mercy.
Mm-hmm. Now, but I was interested in the outsider who has been there for, say, 15 years or 20 years, between 10 and 25.
Well, if it is even an outsider, there is no question. You see, it is like an Indian who has come and asking for permanent residentship here. if I may give you the sort of a
comparison,
you see. I mean, if the man has actually been in possession of the land for 15 years and has really made a solid attempt at fencing and cultivating the land, and we find that You see, of the 1,000 acres, we find that spread over 100 acres. There are coconut trees that we can well believe are 12 years old. There is nothing to prevent that land being settled on him. You see, in fact, at the survey, that would be surveyed as a separate block. And his name, whoever it is, you see, you may find an Appuhami or a Dingirimanika as a normal Kandyan, you see. But there is nothing to prevent a Fonseca or a Fernando name coming in, you see.
Yes, so if you felt he had made an honest attempt to cultivate it, and if there was enough land elsewhere for villagers, you would generally settle it on him for a consideration.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. A consideration.
Would you, in cases where there appeared to be some pressure on the land in the area and a shortage of land, give him only a portion and take the rest away?
Not if it is cultivated.
You see, but...
Not any portion of his cultivated land, but uncultivated land.
You see, where we felt that he had merely bought it for a soul.
And we find that the pedigree from which he had bought this land was not entitled to all that. We are fully justified in cutting it out, you see.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, even where he has over-cultivated, you see, we can just tell him, well, we are very sorry, we can't give
you... You mean he has gone beyond his area?
Beyond
his area, you see, either encroached on someone's, or as a matter of fact, on his title, not entitled to that extent.
Mm-hmm. Say you found an outsider who had concrete evidence that he bought this from a villager about 15 years ago.
Yes.
But has done nothing about it.
Yes.
What would you do?
Well, in such a case, you see, we would try to compromise with the man. You see, if we are satisfied that the extent he has bought is what that family ancestors held, you see, we would try to compromise with the man and tell him, well, look, you have paid only 5 rupees an acre. You see, now you are going to get crown title to 200 acres which belongs to this family. Now this is a poor family that has absolutely nothing except this land. So we suggest that you give back 100 and we will give you title for 100 acres at practically a nominal figure of, normally I think we charge them about 16 rupees an acre.
Mm-hmm.
You see?
What if it was a villager himself who had, say, a slightly more influential villager of the area who had bought up a few titles but not done anything about it? And you know that he bought them up
only
very recently,
fair.
Between...
Three or four years before.
Or you say 8 years, under 10 years.
Well, although it is deemed to be crown land if the cultivation is under 10 years, there again, we try to see what the most equitable way of dealing with the problem is, you see. We call the man and say, look, it's true you have bought it, but you have done nothing about it. Now look at that family. They have 10 children. Stop the day.
Well, then if I say Tikri Banda from the village, a man of some influence, has got hold of a fair amount of land in the village on dubious title, and you come before he has established a prescriptive claim of 25 years, what would you do?
Now, to start with, I don't know whether the prescriptive period is Only 10 years.
25, I think.
Is it 25 under the law?
30, but you generally give him a...
Yes. Well, if it is dubious title, you see, the whole system, although it is rigid, we never apply the rigid laws of the ordinance, you see. As far as the ordinance goes, all land which has a cultivation of 10 years or less is deemed to be the property of the crown.
At this point, the original spool was reversed, but the interview with N.W. Atukorala continues.
Then, of course, I told him that under the ordinance, I will refer his claim to courts. And before it could be referred to courts, he came and signed a deed, you see, signed its agreement.
Did reference to the courts generally tend to hold up settlement of a whole village?
No, certainly not. It was only that particular claim. You see, it was only that particular claim that was referred to courts.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a claim where you have decided to give it to a certain person. So there is no question of holding up the settlements,
mm-hmm,
or holding up anyone's cultivation or anything. But what was held up was the final issue of the settlement as such, which has to be gazetted, and the crown grants issue.
Mm-hmm. No, but the point being was that he was claiming 500 acres, and you may have made some other decisions with regard to the 455, since you have settled 45 on him. You couldn't do anything about that?
No, in that particular case we had enough land to play about with, and there was no problem involved at all, you see. I mean, even if a problem was involved, there was nothing to prevent me from blocking out some of the Chena area which he claimed,
mm-hmm,
and giving it to others, you see.
You stated that all land under 10 years was deemed to be crown. That is all wasteland.
All wasteland. Mm-hmm. All land where, I mean, when you, all wasteland, yes.
Mm-hmm.
All Chena land, you see. All land which did not have any cultivation in a village, you see. Now, for example, if someone had a semi-permanent building, one won't, and Chena right round it, you see, one would try to see how old this building is and so on, and who resided there, and for how what length of time, and why it was abandoned, or
mm-hmm,
you see, if someone claimed it. You see, you always know, in a village, unlike in an urban area, you see, you can get heaps of information. As a matter of fact, any form of information you want, you can obtain, you
mm-hmm
see.
Say a man had cultivated or lived on in a certain area, or Chena had a plot on and off for a period of 30 years, but on a cyclical basis. Could he claim the land?
No, he couldn't. Because that is Chena land. That is, he has merely got a catch crop and gone away. You see, in certain areas like the Mathale district, they have what is called the Mulkata Chenas, that is Chenas...
Like spokes of a wheel.
Spokes of a wheel, you see, where certain pedigrees Chena at regular intervals, you see. Now, what we generally do is, we leave that particular area, say of 500 acres or whatever it is, for Chena cultivation by that particular community.
That's right. So in effect, you're providing village Chenas for the whole village.
No, for the whole village, you see.
Oh.
But that is the most wasteful form of cultivation one can ever think of. And I do hope, although I'm not in the public service now, that they have given it up. Well, sooner or later they have to, with the explosive population that we are now faced with and the urgent necessity to have permanent crops like paddy and
various things like that, you see. So I don't think that that form of cultivation, even if it exists in little areas here and there, will be fast dying out.
Coming back to land settlement, say you, after investigating a certain allotment, you found that A had encroached on it and cultivated it with garden crops for about 10 years. But B had bought it quite legitimately from him 5 years before you came along. What would you tend to do?
It all depends on who is in possession at the moment.
B.
B is in possession.
Mm-hmm.
But A, well, we will tell him, what are you, how are you going to compensate A for the plantation which he made? You see, he will say, well, sir, I'll give him an acre from this side, or I'll pay him in cash. And
presumably,
the other man, who also, if he is a claimant under the Act, we got to settle with him also, he also has to sign an agreement, you see. If that is so, well, if they have come to an agreement, We never try to interfere with their private arrangements, you see. The whole process, you see, was simplified to a very great extent. You see, in the old days under the Wasteland Ordinance, when the Europeans dealt with it, they were very harsh, you see. Their whole objective behind that was to have land for estates, either coffee, tea, rubber, whatever it was. And generally, I mean without any rhyme or reason, 500-600 acres were given to Mr. X or Mrs. Y or Mr. Z, who happened to be a foreigner, for purposes of cultivation.
You came across lots of such cases?
No, I have heard of very amusing stories of English land settlement officers who dealt with claims in very queer fashions. I've heard of a case where a man when I mean the settlement officer concerned, summoned people for a certain time, say 9 o'clock. All those who came at 9 got 2 acres. All those who came at 9:30, say, got 1 acre. All those who came at 10 got 3 quarters of an acre. And when he thought of closing up at 11, all those who were there got half an acre, and he left the place. That was the settlement, you see.
Mm-hmm.
But it is very unfortunate, you see, well, it is possibly due to the fact that we were a subject race, that even under those conditions, people were prepared to accept them and mourn at what they got and just keep quiet. But when we, the local people who had our the sons of the soil, went there and looked into things carefully and tried to make as equitable and as proper settlements as possible, you see, covering the law, covering their claims, covering their cultivations, covering their various other mortgages, this, that, and all that sort of thing, you see, we found that still, I mean, I suppose it is a national failing. You see, the number of petitions and the number of callers and the number of claims and the number of problems were magnified 10 times over.
Mm-hmm. Now, I was wondering whether you can recall any instances which you saw on the map or came to know of by other means of European or British civil officers, servant of the past, a settlement officer, giving land liberally to the estates nearby. And
yes, I think I have come across some cases while studying files, and I have also come across clear cases where certain Kandyan high-ups like Rathe Mahathyas and so on, you see, merely for the purpose of winning the Europeans over, you see, for purposes of employment or honor or whatever it was, you see, help them along. I have also come across cases where for their own personal gain and benefit, you found that they bought up various little blocks, you see, and they suppressed the villagers, took over the crown grant and sold it to an estate adjoining that. Oh, we have come across various permutations and combinations of factors like this, you see. I mean, it's a hardly a credit to our people, but certainly I know Governor Barnes, for example, you see, gave over half of Noraria town or something to one of his relatives. You see, I mean, we read all these in history and so on, you see.
In fact, didn't that Barnes case cause a bit of a row between D.S. Naika and some...
Of course it did. He was the one man who put his foot down. He was the architect not only of Ceylon's freedom, I would first say that he's the architect of Ceylon, of Ceylon's cultivation, of Ceylonese cultivation, of mechanized cultivation, and of colonization.
So coming back to settlement, and assuming that the claimants are purely people of that area or that village, what is the difference in treatment between those whose claims were less than 10 years and those whose claims had more than 10 years cultivation?
What I didn't quite follow.
Say, A claimed a lot.
Yes.
But you found that the trees on it were only 6-7 years old.
Yes.
B claimed a similar allotment, but he had cultivated it for 15 years.
Yes.
So, it would appear that you would treat them differently.
Well, not very differently, because the whole object behind this exercise, if I may say so, was to find the permanent villager in that village, a land to live on, a land which he could cultivate and rear his family.
Uh-huh.
You see, that was the whole object behind your mind, although you had all these safeguards like deeming every land under 10 years crown. It didn't mean that we exercised those powers.
That was a means of...
You see, that was only used in that very rare case, you see, of either an outsider or a villager himself, you see, whom we thought was a real land grabber, you see, and whom we found a difficult customer to deal with under the ordinance.
Mm-hmm.
If he hadn't made his claim in time, he was entirely at our mercy, you see. We could have told him to hell with you, you see, and he has no other authority to whom he could go for adjudication or for relief, you see.
What about cases of individuals who hadn't seen the notice or had been away from the district when they had a semi-legitimate claim?
Oh, all those cases were taken into consideration, you see. That is why I said that the land settlement ordinance, since the time Mr. D.S. Senanayake came, that ordinance was enacted, I believe, in 1931 or thereabouts. You see, was worked in such a way that we almost forgot the ordinance, except for the statutory requirements of summoning claimants, of gazetting it, of registering the claims that were received in time. You see, now say I take a village A. You see, when the survey maps come and that village, along with 10 other villages surrounding that village, are given in my charge, I issue what is called a settlement notice calling for claims and giving the lot numbers and the claimants as given in the field books of the surveyor who did the block survey. Then there is a statutory period within which claims can be made.
Mm-hmm.
You see, now I first inspect this, do a preliminary inspection, and then issue this notice. You see, No, not a preliminary inspection first. I issue the notice when the block survey plans come. Then in these, say, 12 villages that I am dealing with adjoining each other, you see, the total population may be 1,500. You see? But it may be that only 400 have made claims. And it is, as far as I am concerned, legally, I am expected to deal with only those 400. The others can go to hell, you see, as it were.
Mm-hmm.
But that is not the object behind how we were trained was that every claim had to be looked into. So in, as a matter of fact, we looked into the claims of those who hadn't made claims under the notice as carefully as those who had made claims.
Mm-hmm.
You see, so there was really no problem there because we were trained in that fashion.
Mm-hmm.
But I gave you the example of that European, you see, who gave 2 acres at 9 and
mm-hmm.
1.5 at 9:30 and 1 at 10 and
etc. Mm-hmm.
Like that. That was the sort of man who dealt with claims,
mm-hmm.
you see, who would have stuck to the letter of the law. He said, well, you are a claimant, you are not. You get nothing, you get half an acre. That sort of thing.
With reference to land grabbing, I suppose one of the methods was to buy land from legal married women and, you know...
That was partly a way of getting over the difficulty, which we, of course, if there was a cultivation, we were rather embarrassed dealing with such claim. But if there was no cultivation and only chain of land, we just... tell him, look here chum, you have no claim to this land, you see, because actually the person from whom you bought it has no claim, you see, and that family, the brothers come and say, well, this is our sister, she is married, she is residing there, her husband is so and so, and I mean,
mm-hmm.
there is a village headman to testify to that.
What about cases of individuals who had bought from X, though really X only held 1/8 of a Tatumaru plot, you see, undivided property.
Oh, undivided shares. Now that is another problem, you see, that we were always faced with. Because in these villages, practically everything was held undivided.
Yes.
Now one of the things we always tried to do was, always, never to give in undivided shares unless we could. We really had no other alternative. We really, that was one of the objects behind this, was to give separate individual blocks.
Mm-hmm.
So that Mr. A or Mrs. B or Miss C or Master D knew exactly where he stood. You see, very often you found that in the Candian areas, you see, a woman got married at the age of 15 or something like that, you see, and had 3 children, and the husband was dead, and she was living with someone else. You see, all sorts of problems like that, you see. Now,
so what
the
happened?
Settlement officer has to be careful
mm-hmm.
in dealing with that, in sizing up a situation. You see, now, for example, when you settle on a minor, you always say subject to the life interest of the mother or the father or whatever it is, you see, purely for the reason, you see, that till he attains a certain age, no one will try to squeeze the land out of him, you see, and we were given so wide discretionary powers. I know I particularly, you see, must have been a grave loss to the government as far as finances went, because as I told you a while ago, you see, the actual cost of survey and settlement of an acre of land, which at that time was about 150, maybe about 4 times that now, you see, if a woman who was a widow came to me with 3 little children, you see, and if I found that was the only acre of land she had, and that she had no source of income. You see, I would have settled that free on it.
Where you found undivided proprietorship of a very small block, say the size of this room, what would you do about it?
Well, I mean, in a village you never came across a thing like that, I see. Although possibly in developed areas you do come across things like that. In a village, you see, you know, now this may be, say, a perch, you see. In our settlement we say 3 acres, 2 roods, 15 perches, more or less, which gave the surveyor room to add 3 perches or subtract 3 perches, which meant nothing to him, you see, but may cover my whole upstairs. You see, the village problem was not that acute, you see, although how acute it is now I cannot say, but it can't be even acute at this stage. But the real problem we had, or rather Mr. D.S. Sennanayak had, you see, when he enacted the land settlement ordinance, was the question of these estates. You see, we are indiscriminate action on the part of foreign government agents and governors had led to the alienation of vast acres of land which should have been reserved as sources and courses of streams and rivers and so on. You see, now nothing could be done about it, but since he came with the help of the land commissioner, certain rules and regulations and laws were laid down that alienation above 5,000 feet was prohibited. You see, that alienation of any land through which a river ran, depending on the width of the river, reservation had to be left, and that sort of thing, you see, which has to some extent preserved for us the natural climatic conditions that are required for cultivation.
Mm-hmm. If I may raise another hypothetical case of outsiders in this instance. A has got hold of a claim and say 8 years before and cultivated half of it. B has got hold of a claim say 20 years before and also cultivated half of it gradually and promises to cultivate the rest of it. And you know, it would appear that he would do so gradually. How would you treat the case?
Are these two individuals you refer to outsiders or people of the village?
Outsiders.
Outsiders. Well, there again, we will go firstly into the question of whether the amount of land these people have purchased on Paraveni title is what that individual or what the grantors were entitled to. That is the first question to be settled. Because there are others in the pedigree who have also, whose claims have also to be met.
Mm-hmm.
If they are sold above their quota or above what they are entitled to, well, it is very unlikely, whether it is cultivated or not, that he would get very much more. We may perhaps make a little exception and give him a little more if we feel he has been in possession for over 10 years. But that doesn't mean that if that whole pedigree of 25 people, say, who are now living, were entitled to 100 acres, and he bought the entire 100 acres and has a cultivation of 20 years in 25 acres, 15 years in 10 acres, 5 years in 5 acres and the balance chena, that he will get the whole thing. He will probably even take away a portion of the 5-year cultivation.
Mm-hmm.
You see, and asked him, well, get the pedigree of people concerned. Tell him, now you try and reach a settlement, we'll see how you fare. You see, we put the onus on them. You see, we try, you know, the land settlement ordinance, which was one of the worst ordinances when it remained as the wastelands ordinance, became an extremely popular ordinance because we tried to work it in such a way that the people knew that we were not there to try and grab as much land as possible for the crown, but to try and give them, firstly, individual settlements, secondly, equitable settlements, thirdly, try and deal with, say, blind, lame, widows, minors, in a very, very mild way. I mean, practically giving them free settlements, taking, of course, great care to see that there is a clause that will ensure that they can't sell that till they are of a certain age or till they become majors. You see, so we dealt with these problems that arose in such a way where we asked them, all right, you tell us what to do. We will see whether whether that is equitable or not. And then we will say how we think it should be done if you can't come to a settlement. If they came to a settlement, sometimes, say there are three brothers and three sisters. The three sisters may have gone in diga, but the brothers say, no sir, we have 10 acres of land, we like to give each one of them 1 acre. We have no objection whatsoever, none whatsoever.
Mm-hmm. So, in that sense, the land settlement is also a gigantic partition case.
It is better than the partition title in a sense. You see, you get crown and crown grant, which no one, not the Supreme Court, not even the Supreme Court can challenge.
In another sense, don't you think that to some extent at least you also regularized encroachments, at least encroachments above 10 years?
Well, that was in a sense the main objective. You see, that was in a sense the main objective. Except where there were certain cases bordering estates. I remember when I was working in Dharaniyagala area, where there was plenty of rubber land. You see, where leases covering 20-30 acres of land had been given, where even the rubber plantation was old. That didn't mean that the thing was settled on the estate.
Just a lease.
It's merely a lease which the government agent dealt with, you see, and which we completely excluded and deemed and brought it under the ordinance and declared it crown land.
Or even though a lease had been given?
Yes. The lease is always, the government agent gives a lease of crown land. You see, he can't give a lease of private land.
Mm-hmm.
He always gives a lease of crown land. So in a sense, we regularized, even gave him more power in the sense that there was nothing to shake us then. Shake him, rather.
You gave him title to the lease.
You see, that was deemed, that was declared crown land, and then there was no question of any fight between the estate and the government agents, you see.
Mm-hmm.
He merely told them, well, this is crown land. You have planted it, right? You take a lease of it for 25 years, or whatever it is, or a lease annually, and renew it.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you where that has now become useful. Now there is pressure in certain areas, particularly estate areas, where villages are wedged in between estates, you see. Now where you find a lease, say of 50 acres, you can cancel that at once. Divide it among 5 families, 5 acres of rubber each, and say, now do your best and do what you can with this.
Mm-hmm. Where community chainers came into the picture, where the village was had chained a certain block for quite a long time.
What they call the communal chainers, yes.
Did you try to encourage them to parcel it out individually?
No. A chaina is always deemed to be crown, and we always considered it crown. That was just chaina land, bia chaina land. You see, it may be that now very often, even bia chaina land has been settled, you see. Oh, quite hundreds and thousands of cases.
On individuals.
That is where they said, well, you draw up a pedigree. Say, a pedigree of the Atukurala family, you see, you will find. So and so my grandfather had this chaina covering 1,000 acres. You see, then he had married and he had 10 children. You see, of those 3 went in Diga and 7 were boys. They married, they are dead now, and they are. And like that you go down, eventually you find that you have to settle it among 25 people. Now you first go into the claim as to whether the original man really had the 1,000 acres, or whether you consider that 1,000 acres was something too much for one individual to have possessed at that time. You fix on something, you see, you say, right, I am prepared to consider dividing 150 acres among the 25 of you. You see, how do you want it done? You see, 5 of them may say, sir, we are now employed in the harbor, we have no interest in it, give it to our brother. But they are all claimants, so they got to sign the agreement. You see, they sign along with the others saying that in consideration of the settlement officer giving so and so a mudiansi of such and such a place, 85 acres of this land, you see, we disclaim any other, we have no other claim to any other land under the settlement notice. That's all we want. And they all sign. And this mudiyanse will get that 85 acres. You see, we ask him, well, where do you want it? You see, we give them all the possible facilities, you see, because the one thing, at least as far as I was concerned, you see, when I was trained, I didn't generally agree with these people who, you see, were rather thought they sat in the position of a judge who had to, you see, lay down the law, you see.
Was that the general attitude among England?
No, not among the Ceylonese, I must say, generally speaking, although there may have been a few cases, you see. But I used the ordinance, you see, except for these statutory purposes, as sparingly as possible. You see, I went to the village with this one idea behind me. Look, this is a village and ancestral property of 10 families living here who have now 185 adults. And I must try to see, give them as far as possible their cultivated land, and as far as the others are concerned, give them blocks of land where they want, and group them together in such a way that I will be able to map out certain areas for community cultivation or for irrigation purposes or for whatever other purpose it is, you see. And I gave them entire rope, as it were, to select any particular block they want, to adjust anything they want. You see, if a man, father told me, well, look, I am now 68, I am probably die next year, this is my only son, I am the claimant, you write it in his name. You see, well, I look at the man and see what he is like, you see. If I feel that he looks a tough guy, I tell the father, yes, right, I will give effect to your wishes. But I am adding this clause, that it is subject to your life interest. Because I know, looking at the fellow, and looking at his background or his family connections and so on, his wife's people and so on, pedigrees, and asking the headman quietly, you see, when he's away, we have got to do these things to see what sort of a guy he is, what is he a drunkard, is he in debt, is he looking after his family, is he looking after his old father and so on. He says, no sir, he's just trying to get that land, you see. Then I get them both up, say, well, you are lucky to have a father like this who wants the land in his name. But remember that till he dies, he is the owner. It will be in your name, the grant will be in your name, subject to his life interest, so that he can give you the boot at any time. So you better take good care to look after him, he's old, and that sort of thing. We give them a lot of advice and so on and so forth.
Uh-huh. Of course, the problem with settlement is that it's a slow process.
It is a slow process. There